Senator Case?
Madam Chairwoman, may I have privilege of the floor, please? Madam Chairwoman, I'd like to make an introduction of my son George came over from Laramie to be with us this afternoon, and as you can see on the average, the Case family has just ordinary hair.
Welcome, George.
George grew up in the legislature when he was just born, had just got in, and he played with all the lobbyists and was just crawling around. A lot of the old-timers will remember, and it's really a pleasure to have him come over. And thank you, Madam Chairwoman.
Welcome, George. Let's get started. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 41. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill 41, Hemp Extract Revisions, an Act Relating to Public Health, sponsored by Representative Miller. House Bill 41 is engrossed. Was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Let me pull that up. I gave it to you. Thank you. Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation.
It's on.
They do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 41, Hemp Extract Revisions, and to present this nice little bill will be Senator Baldwin.
Senator Baldwin.
We're passing notes. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. There is a Committee of the Whole amendment to this, too. I'd like to have that read in at this time.
Will the reading clerk read the amendment?
House Bill 41, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, page 2, lines 5 through 7.
Senator Baldwin.
We'll hold that amendment for vote for a few minutes here, just explain the bill, which won't take a whole long time. Most of you will remember a bill that passed last year that came out of a House from a member of that House who is no longer with us concerning cannabinoid oil, which I almost can't say, for the treatment of seizures. One of the things that that bill did not do is it didn't state what to do when that person's still having seizures, still under treatment of cannabinoid oil, and now they're 18 years old or older. That's what this bill seeks to address. And if you look on page 2 of the bill, you'll see that that's the only addition that this bill does down on line, just forget line 5 for a minute, we'll come back to that, go down to line 18 through 20, and we're talking about people that reach the age majority, people that reach 18 years of age that still need the drug, and we talk about renewing that card under subsection of this, renewed under subsection of the section if the person remains a minor as defined in Wyoming Statute 35-7. Now, we'll go back to the amendment, which addresses lines 5 through 7 on page 2, and all the amendment is it's cleanup of that language. The language that's in the bill is a little bit awkward. We just changed that language by striking line 5 through 7 and changing it to language that's already in statute, which my smartphone will show me here, to the definition of vulnerable adult. Vulnerable adult means any person 18 years of age or older who is unable to manage and take care of himself or his money, assets, or property without assistance as a result of advanced age or physical or mental disability. The reason being that putting that in rather than the language that's in there is just to make it consistent with the statutes that are already in place and make it very clean. So essentially what this bill does is make you able when you're 18 years or old to continue to be able to use a cannabinoid oil, or the person who's taking care of you, be that a parent or a guardian, has the ability to continue to take care of you once you've reached the age of 18 or above. And that seems pretty straightforward and pretty simple, and that was the intention of the original sponsor of this bill, the representative from Star Valley, who did a good job putting this bill together, and this just extends his good work. And with that, I would ask for the voter questions on the amendment.
Senator Baldwin, I may have missed it, but did you move that amendment?
I did not, but I sure will now, Madam Chairman. I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 41 and ask for your aye vote.
We are on the amendment. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question being called, all those in favor of Senator Baldwin's motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 41, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Further discussion?
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 41, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. House Bill 41 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 61. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill 61, Roadside Waiver of Property Rights Prohibited, sponsored by Representative Pelkey, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 61, Roadside Waiver of Property Rights Prohibited, and to present the bill will be Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. House Bill 61, Roadside Waiver of Property Rights Prohibited, is a little bit of a cleanup based on some of the changes we made to civil asset forfeiture a couple of years ago, where we implemented a new process that had quite a bit of due process involved and required some hearings and other available remedies to individuals that would be potentially faced with a civil asset forfeiture. Madam Chairman, what ended up happening was there was an instance where civil asset forfeiture took place on a roadside stop. There was a great deal of cash involved. The individual thought that perhaps there was a law in the state of Wyoming that a certain amount of cash would be illegal. They ended up signing a roadside waiver which said, no, I don't know whose cash this is. I have no concern, and I waive away any rights I have within the system that we put in place for managing civil asset forfeiture. And what ended up transgressing was that there was no hearing requested. There was no information that flowed back to that individual based on the way the civil asset forfeiture statutes were put into place. In other words, right now, there should have been information flowing to that individual about hearings and about what the due process would be, but that didn't take place. No information was provided because the individual had signed this roadside waiver, which was kind of a way to circumvent the statutes that were put in place, Madam Chairman, where the due process was supposed to be available. It ended up working out where the individual heard about it, was able to contest that, but one of the things that came out of it was these roadside waivers are basically a method of circumventing that process which was put in place, which would allow for those hearings. So, Madam Chairman, this bill simply provides that those roadside waivers will not be used anymore. The process that was put in place into statute a couple of years ago will continue to govern. And there is the possibility of a waiver after the hearing of rights. You can see that in Romanet 2 on the second page. But that initial roadside waiver cannot take place, allowing for that individual to engage an attorney, to understand what their rights are, to fully participate in the process that was laid out in the civil asset forfeiture legislation that we passed a couple of years ago, and to make sure that that possibility of a loophole circumventing the process wouldn't be there, Madam Chairman. This is a good bill to just make sure that individuals in the state of Wyoming will continue to be able to exercise their rights of due process with regard to civil asset forfeiture, and I hope the body will support it.
Further discussion on the bill?
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 61, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. House Bill 61 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 106. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill 106, Municipal Court Authority Conditional Suspension of Fines, sponsored by Representative Crank, an act relating to municipal courts, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 106, Municipal Court Authority / Conditional Suspension of Fines, and to present this bill will be Senator Anselmi.
Thank you, Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. House Bill 106 comes to us following a ruling by the Wyoming courts last summer. Essentially what it does is says that the court said, oh, if the ordinance is punishable by a fine only, that's what they have to do, and we don't have any other sort of means of address. So what they said is that the resolution of the issue lied in amending the ordinance or to provide for incarceration or through legislation. So what this bill does is when a city has an ordinance is punishable by fine only, for example, if you park your car and you leave it there or you don't cut your weeds, what they want to do is be able to say the judge can suspend the fine for a specified period and allow you perhaps maybe to cut your weeds and take care of the problem. And that's what this bill does for us. Municipalities, this is directed at nuisance ordinances and allows a conditional suspension of fines and has limited offenses for which only a fine is imposed by the municipal court. And that's essentially what it does. I stand for any questions.
Discussion on the bill? Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 106, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. House Bill 106 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 117. The reading clerk will read the House Bill.
House Bill 117, engrossed, domestic abuse phone numbers, sponsored by Representative Biteman, an act relating to domestic abuse and sexual violence, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Kinski, and Nethercott. No, Senator Hicks. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Thank you, Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 117, domestic abuse phone numbers. To present the bill will be Senator Nethercott.
Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Senators, you have before you a really great bill regarding domestic violence and a unique tool to allow courts or judges, upon a finding of domestic abuse in a protection order situation, to allow the petitioner to purchase essentially her phone number and phone from the provider. So frequently in these situations, the individual subject to the protection order maintains the phone system and the phone number. And so upon that protection order going into a place or in a domestic violence situation, the perpetrator has full access to how that phone is being used, text messages being relayed, phone calls being made, and can shut off the phone or turn it back on. And this particular bill allows the court to order the subject of the order, the defendant essentially, to allow the petitioner to pay for the phone number and the phone thereafter. This bill has been vetted through the cell phone providers, the companies associated with this, and they understand how it works. They support the legislation and the bill, and so it really is a wonderful solution to what frequently turns into a troubling situation for victims of domestic violence. So for that, I stand for questions and ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called, all those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 117, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. House Bill 117 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 192. The reading clerk will read the House Bill.
House Bill 192, Legislator Communications on Recordings and Broadcasts, sponsored by the Management Council, an act relating to the legislature, was referred to Committee Number 12, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Hastert, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Devon Flatern. Senator Bebout, Chairman.
You have read, or excuse me, you've heard the bill.
Here I am.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, President Bebout?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise report to do so with a due pass recommendation to House Bill 192, Legislative Communications on Recording and Broadcast, and yield to my Vice President. Where is he, Madam Chairman? Okay.
I'll be happy to do it, Mr. President.
I'll yield to the floor leader.
Majority Floor Leader Perkins.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have for your consideration this Rural Management Bill, Management Council Bill. One of the, just by way of background, Madam Chairman, members of the Senate, we have for a long time looked at trying to increase the transparency. And one of the issues that's come up is that, as you know, they various when you have record these committee meetings and other things like that, you're looking for confidential information. If you go up and, for example, talk to an LSO staff member who's an attorney there, I mean, technically they're the attorneys for the legislature, and so if those if that conversation gets picked up on the microphone, that's really an attorney-client privilege, or can be an attorney-client privilege conversation. But the fact that it's on communications, what's happened is people have asked for copies of these committee recordings, and then LSO has to listen to them for hours and hours to find out if any of those open mic moments occurred. So what this bill does is try and resolve some of that. If you go to the guts of the bill, or on page 2, you have it right there, the recording or broadcast of a communication made by a legislator or legislative staff which would otherwise be confidential and privileged. Under the section shall not be deemed confidential and privileged to the extent that a communication is audible on the official legislative service office recording or broadcast of the public meeting, and then of the Joint Interim Committee, the Select Committee, the Task Force. Nothing in the subsection shall be deemed to waive the privilege for any communication or portion of communication that is not audible. So just making sure that if there's an inadvertent open mic that would otherwise be confidential, obviously that'll be waived because it's all been overheard. But that doesn't open the door for everything else that may have gone on with that conversation. So the job of this is to let those recordings go, save LSO from having to listen to them for hours and hours, and preserve any confidential communication that otherwise would not have been disclosed. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Question.
Discussion on the bill. There is an amendment that I'm looking at.
There is. He's still on that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Madam Chairman.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Madam Chairman, I move Senate Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 92 and ask the body to vote aye. While we did in listing the group of people this applies to, we are looking at those individuals that we have, that we do recordings on. And so we added in doing that, we also, Management Council is also recorded when they meet. The Joint Appropriations Committee is also recorded when they meet. And the Management Audit Committee meetings are also recorded. So this just adds, as a technical amendment, to make sure we're covering all the different task force joint committees and other committees that are meeting and are recorded during the interim. But ask your favorable consideration and ask if there's any questions. Not a call for the question.
Discussion on the amendments. Seeing none, question being called. All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 192, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Further discussion? Question's been called. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 192, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. House Bill 192 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 78. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill 78, engrossed, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, sponsored by the Water Committee, an act related to water development projects, was referred to Committee Number 5, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz. Senator Moniz, acting chairman, was re-referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns, or excuse me, Senator Hicks?
Standing committee.
Senator Hicks.
Madam Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 78 do pass. And Madam Chairman, for an explanation, this is the Omnibus Water Bill Construction. What I'm going to do is walk you through the engrossed version. Madam Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. Could I have that read in at this time?
Will the reading clerk read the amendment?
House Bill 78, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 11.
Senator Hicks.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to do is walk you through the bill, and then when we get through the bill, then we'll bring in the standing committee amendment. So first project in the water bill construction, page 2, is the Gillette Regional Extension Phase 4 in Campbell County. It is for $1,809,000. It's a 67% grant, and that is for pipeline construction for an extension. Second project in the count one is the Glenwalk Transmission Pipeline in Converse County. That's $525,950. Again, that's a 67% grant, and that is, again, a water transmission pipeline. Next project, page 6 of the bill, is the Lusk Water System Improvements in Niobrara County, $546,050. Again, that is for a well and pipeline and a 67% grant. The next project, page 7 of your bill, is the Melody Ranch Water System Improvement Project in Teton County. That's for $944,000 at $700,000, 67% grant. Again, that is a well connections to an additional construction of pipelines. Next project is the Northwest Rural Water System Improvement Project in Park County, Wyoming, $1,076,690. It's for tanks and pipelines, and again is a 67% grant. Next project is the Sheridan Northside Transmission Pipeline in Sheridan County, $1,735,300, 67% grant for water transmission pipelines. Next one is the Sundance Tank in Crook County, $722,930, 67% grant for a water storage tank. Next one is a weather modification in Fremont Sublette County, $130,000, 25% grant for snowpack augmentation. Total expenditures under water development account one. And this portion is $7,986,420. Now on to level three projects that are rehabilitation projects that come out of account two. First project in the bill is Casper Alcova Irrigation District for an underdrain in Natrona County, $416,740, 67% grant, and is the canal underdrain. Next project is the Cottonwood Irrigation District Replacement in Lincoln County. It's a pipeline for $834,000. That is a 67% grant. The sponsor's also taken out a 33% loan on that project. Next project is Deaver Irrigation District Rehabilitation in Bighorn and Park Counties, $230,000. That is a materials-only grant to the Irrigation District to do flume and lateral work. Next one's Goshen Irrigation District check structure in Goshen County, $468,330, 67% grant. Heart Mountain Irrigation District rattlesnake liner replacement in Park County is $2.7 million, 67% grant. They have also taken out a 33% loan, and they're relining a concrete liner in existing canal. Midvale Irrigation District rehab in Fremont County, $995,000. That is a 100% materials-only grant for pipeline. Then we have Riverton Valley Irrigation District in Fremont County, $542,500. That is a 25% grant for canal rehab as a result of the flooding that occurred up there last year. Sidon Irrigation District is the next project in Bighorn County, $823,000. That, again, is a materials-only grant. Total expenditures for rehabilitation projects is $7,423,570. Next bill for your consideration in gross version is the Ethity Water Supply Project in Fremont County. This is just a time extension. There were some issues with getting the easements across the reservation for this project to move forward. It does serve water on both reservation lands and other lands. This will now allow this. The easement issues have been worked out. This will allow that project to move forward. Douglas Box Elder Springs in Converse County. Again, this is just a time extension. Green River Rock Springs raw water reservoir supply in Sweetwater County as a time extension. There were some issues with the current project over there that they're trying to work through. Evansville emergency connection in Natrona County, one-year time extension. Mountain View Acres connection in Fremont is another time extension. Savory Diversion Creek Phase 2 in Carbon County is a one-year time extension. Then we get into an appropriation under the Small Water Project Program for new project, new developments is $750,000, which that program runs on a 50% grant basis. We get into the small project water for rehabilitation. There's an appropriation for $100,000. Again, those are 50% grants for rehab projects. And then we have the Dullknife Reservoir Spillway Project in Johnson County. This is an addition to an existing project at $217,000 that comprises only a 35% grant to do some embankment work now that they've pretty much remediated the spillway issue. And then the Gillette Regional Extension 2017 in Campbell County is $2,391,000. As the bill stands currently on the construction side, on account one is $11,128,320. And then the rehab is $7,740,570. Madam Chairman, at this point in time, I would like to transition to the Standing Committee Amendment. The Standing Committee Amendment before you, ladies and gentlemen, just goes back. There was the water bill as it came into the legislature through the Water Development Commission and then through the Select Water Committee process was then amended in the House, initially amended in the House Appropriations and then further amended on the floor. It changed the ratio on the weather modification program in the Green River Basin, and it moved the funding up from 14% of the total project costs to 25% of the project costs. What the Standing Committee Amendment does is bring back the original language that was brought to the legislature through the Water Development Commission and the Select Water Committee. That's what that portion of the amendment does. The next portion, if you go to line 19, on the Standing Committee Amendment, it brings in Level 3 construction. If you look at the engrossed version, there is no appropriation for Level 3, which is the large dams and reservoir count. Again, what this does is bring in the original language in the bill as it came into the legislature, as approved by the Water Development Commission and the Select Water Committee, restores the $40 million appropriation for the West Fork of Battle Creek project. Madam Chairman, with that, I'd stand for any questions on the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Hicks. I don't believe we had a motion to...
Madam Chairman, I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 78. And with that, just ditto on the explanation on the Standing Committee and would stand for any questions.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Case.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairwoman. My question is regards to the new money for the Level 3 construction project, the West Fork Dam. I'd like to know a lot more about that project. I'd like to know, I think the total cost, if I understand, is more than $40 million. I think it might be $73 million. And that I would like to know how many irrigators that benefits, what is the purpose behind the dam, what are the benefits, what is the benefit-cost ratio, if we know that. And I also understand, Madam Chairwoman, that this dam would benefit people in Colorado, and that I want to know what Colorado is contributing to build this dam. It seems like a lot of money, and there was quite a discussion by our friends down the hall about the economic effectiveness of this project. You know, I don't know if you heard, Madam Chairwoman, but money's a little tight this year, and I'd like to hear more about this project.
Further discussion? Senator Burns.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm all for this bill. Unfortunately, I can't vote for this amendment. This is over 73. We're talking $73 million for 10,000 acre feet. I believe that works out to $7,300 per acre foot. Earlier, we had a bill related to Lake Desmet where we were buying, I believe, for $72 per acre foot. So I don't understand why this water is worth 1,000 times what that water is worth. It just, in this tight times, this project makes no sense to me at all.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I guess this project, as well as all of the reservoir projects, are part of the governor's 10 and 10 efforts. We're really looking at a point in time in Wyoming's water development where projects are going to be pretty pricey. Now, if you look at it as far as $7,300, I can tell you in the state to the south of us that water rights down there have sold for close to $30,000 an acre foot. So, you know, whether it's expensive or not expensive, I think it's pretty much all relative. There's a substantial amount of public benefit in this, and there's also an environmental benefit in this from the standpoint that we are having to remediate a copper mine. That's going to take copper out of the system where we've had some problems with, I guess, the Colorado cutthroat trout and the pollution of copper in there causing some kinds of different birth defects. That's going to be taken care of. We're going to make sure that the lake isn't a carbon sink. So in the future, if anything would happen, that would flush a lot of copper down the creek. So there are a substantial amount of different benefits associated with this, rather other than just irrigation benefits. And, yeah, I'd love to have this project in my backyard if it was there. It's not in my backyard. But there are other projects, I think, that we're going to be able to build through. As I say, the Water Development Commission has vetted this over the course of several years and through Select Water also. So, Madam Chairman, although it might be expensive from our perspective, overall it's not really a prohibitive expense.
Discussion on the amendment, President Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a further question. You know, one of the things in Wyoming, of course, we're ruled by all these compacts, and clearly everybody understands in Wyoming if you don't use it, you lose our water. And I know some of the different compacts, there's a substantial amount of Wyoming water that if we don't do something, you know, they're taking it for granted downstream. They're utilizing that water. I think that's exactly wrong. I don't agree with it. I think those states should be paying us for our water, but that's another issue. In this particular one, which basin would you consider and which compact rules the amount of money? And how much of that is, in fact, available if we don't do this? Would we lose potentially to downstream people? And what do we do about in terms of the use it or lose it theory, and how much do we save by enacting the dam?
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. One of the curiosities I have, and I don't see it here, but is there any type of match from anywhere, or is this 100% state funds throughout the project, and is that what we're anticipating?
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Chairman. A question for the sponsor. When I look through this, I believe this is our only new construction. And a couple of years ago on the Ag Committee, we talked about the ability to retain and use and at some point establish claim over water and how the downstream users are actively engaged in rounding up all the water they can find. And folks, while this appears to be pretty expensive, the day we don't have water or they're starting to reach into our state, we need to invest and do all we can to establish our claim first as a headwater state.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yeah, I've gotten numerous emails and concerns, and I share the same questions that my good colleague from the Riverton area had posed too. And you know, you look at the benefactors on the project. What's their contribution rate? You know, the information I'm receiving said that they're only contributing 8%, and the standard is 33. That the cost is over $5,000 for per Wyoming acre, and that this is going to be a benefit mostly in Colorado, which is almost $40,000 per acre. You know, only so it's
and that Colorado hasn't committed to this. So, you know, if this is going to be a good thing and it's going to benefit the people in Colorado and they haven't committed to this, maybe this is a little premature and maybe that we need to have some commitments for something that's going to largely benefit and out of state. But there's and I know that some of the things that came up in committee were recreation activities, but this is places, you know, pretty much an inaccessible location, and then recreation users already have the High Savory Reservoir, which is only a few miles away and twice as big. So I don't know if it's appropriate, Madam Chairman, to ask for a division of the amendment, because there's sections on, there's two different pieces to this amendment. And, you know, if we divide the amendment, one division could be line one of the amendment, including line 17, then through the rest of the amendment would be one division, if I'm doing it correctly.
Don't include line 17. What is that? Like 17 down. Leave 17 in the bottom part of the amendment.
So, Senator Hastert.
Madam Chairman, I'm just, so just line one, and that is, and then part of the same amendment would be including 17 on through the rest of the amendment on the through page 2. That, I believe, is all of the West Fork portion of it. And that would leave lines 2 through 16 as amendment as division 1 and the rest division 2.
That appears to be divisible. So division 1 is line 1 and line 17 continuing on through the amendment.
And if there's no questions on Division 1, you could ask for the vote on Division 1 of it.
Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Division 1, I just want to clarify this. Division 1 is line 1 plus all the way through line 15. Division 2 would be the cleanup on line 1 plus the rest of the amendment. Is that correct?
No, I don't believe so. Senator Hastert?
Madam Chairwoman, to the good Vice President, Division 1 is line 1 and then jump down to line 17 through the rest of the amendment, all through the rest of page 1 and all of page 2 is Division 2. Division 1 would be lines 2 through 16. 2 through 16 is Division 1.
Senator
Hatcher. Line 1 is part of division number, I'm sorry. Lines 2 through 16 is Division 1. Lines 1 and then skipping to line 17 through the rest of the amendment is Division 2.
Senator Hastert, I think I had it worded the other way, that Division 2 was lines 2 through 16. Does that?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, so let's deal with Division 1, which is line 1, and then lines 17 through 44 on page 1, and then lines 1 through 36 on page 2. That's Division 1.
Madam Chairman, the first part is, I think, the non-controversial, and we could dispense of it if people so desire. And then the second part, I think, is where all the question and concern come in.
Point of order.
Senator Raffas.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Typically when... Oh. Give me the mic.
Thank you. Typically when someone asks for a division, assuming there's no objection, they get to name the order of the divisions.
Okay.
And part of the request was intended so that the easy one could be disposed of first. So if there isn't an objection, ordinarily that's the way it would go. And I believe the bringer asked that lines 2 through 16 would be Division 1 so that it can be discussed first, and Division 2 would be line 1 and 17 through the remainder of the document.
Seeing no objection, we're on Division 1, which is lines 2 through 16 of page 1. Is there any discussion on Division 1?
Question,
Senator Burns?
Just so I'm clear, that Division 1 deals with everything other than the West Fork Dam. All right, thank you.
Yes. Question being called on Division 1, which is lines 2 through 16 on page 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Division 1 has passed. We're on Division 2. Senator Hastert.
Chairman, thank you. Members of the Senate, just some of the concerns I raised and some of the concerns you heard were specific to this part of the amendment. The total cost of $80 million, the real benefits to the state of Wyoming, the uncertainty of our neighbors to the south lead me to feel that this is a premature at this time.
Further discussion on Division 2, Senator Case.
Madam Chairwoman, I was kind of hoping to get some answers from the questions I posited earlier, but let's just kind of work some math through on this. I don't know what the value of ag hay ground is, Madam Chairwoman. I would guess, I'll just throw out a number. I'd guess it's maybe $3,000 an acre for irrigated. I might be wrong on that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. But why in the world would the state of Wyoming spend $5,200 per acre for that same ground when it's not worth what it costs? And the fact that the net benefit that is achieved by this project is only to allow for most of the acreage some additional late season water, which might provide it might provide one cutting in the season, Madam Chairwoman. It might provide a little better pasture, but it is not the entire value of the output. We'll still get the value of the output. So why would we do this? Why would we do this? And if you think about the amount of dollars per person, it's astounding. It's over $700,000 per person. Why would we think that this is a good idea when there are other projects that we could be funding and use and economically use our money to go forward in a better way? And so I challenge the economics of this project, Madam Chairwoman, and I would hope that we would defeat this portion of the amendment and have more discussion about it, because we have not had any questions answered.
We're on Division 2. Senator Anderson.
Madam Chairman, on Division 2, the $73,000 per acre foot scares the bejesus out of me.
Further discussion. Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. You know, it was brought up the cost of what we were paying for the water up around Lake DeSchmidt. But I got to tell you guys, there's a difference between, I guess, usable water and water that's just pretty to look at. And the water up at Lake DeSchmidt, for the most part, since the 70s, has just been water that's pretty to look at. Proportionally, there's been very, very, very small amount of that water that was actually put to any kind of use. And so when you actually look at the amount of water and the cost of it, it goes up substantially. I would guess it's probably use a factor of maybe 10% and divide that into the cost that we actually paid for it. Frankly, this is one place where the water is going to be used. 50% of it is going to go to public benefits, and roughly 50% of it is going to go to irrigation. So when you look at it from that perspective, Madam Chairwoman, we've made some bad decisions in water before. I don't know if you could say this is actually going to be one. But I will say that the good senator from Bags is more familiar with this, and perhaps he can lend us some clarity to your questions.
Further discussion, Senator Hicks on Division 2.
Madam Chairman, I would love to answer these questions if I just had an opportunity to stand up and answer them. So, Madam Chairman, I think the first thing we have to do is look at the process that this goes through. You know, there isn't a single question that was asked out here on the floor that hasn't been asked once, twice, three times, and over and over, because this process started in 2008. And if you think at this point in time you can re-engineer, redesign, reconceptualize in 10 years' worth of effort that the Water Development Office has done, their consultants have done, that's been through public meetings on every phase of the project. So, Madam Chairman, I can answer every question because there's actually a 500-page report that's available on the website that answers almost every single question out here. And if it's the pleasure of the members of the body, I can stand here for the next 4 or 5 hours and we can go through that. But I think you can look it up yourself. But let's just dispel some of the myths. Let's start with the myth that there's no value to water. I would remind everybody in the body that it is the foundational of our economic system when it comes to our number two and our number three largest industry sectors in the state of Wyoming. It's hard to envision a state of Wyoming without a dam and a tailwater fishery and flat water recreation and municipal water on the North Platte or industrial water in the Green River for our Corona industry, all of which comes from the development of our water resources. But I think most disturbing with some of the discussion is the economics of this thing, because that's the way to take the short view and cut corners. Anytime we develop water from a standpoint of a dam, we now have dams in the state of Wyoming that are approaching over 100 years. And then the nation, we have dams that have been functional since the colonial days. You can't take 1 year's cost and apply that to 1 year's and amortize it over 1 year. You have to take that for 100 years and amortize that cost. And so when you look out, what's the cost of water 20 years from now, 50 years from now, it will tell you it's extremely cheap. If we use the argument that's been placed out here, we would have never built Hoover Dam. We never have built the Columbia River dams, and we'd have lost World War II because without the electrical power generation, we wouldn't have been able to refine aluminum. But specific some of the questions I think that we should answer out here. This started in 2008. This goes through a very rigorous process with the Water Development Office. Then they hire the consultants. Those consultants make recommendations. Those recommendations are reviewed by the commission. The commission approves those. Then they move on to the next level, which is phase three, level two studies. You go back and you start to reanalyze the project. You start to look at the economics, and you bring all that information into play. Then it goes to that point. You get into phase three. And what this is the start of phase three. This originally is one of the governor's 10 and 10 projects. I can tell you right now, this is number five that's keyed up. There's other projects out there that the water's more expensive as we move forward. And there's a reason for that, because we're running out of the cheap, efficient dam sites. It's getting tougher and tougher to find them. Yet we have deficiencies in water storage across the state of Wyoming. The Bureau of Reclamation no longer builds dams. But yet it's our economic foundation of our recreation and our agricultural needs, and to a certain degree our municipal and our industrial base also. I find it interesting that we have states to the south and the west of us that are literally spending billions of dollars, billions, just to move water so they can have urban development and industrial growth in their states. Madam Chairman, just to go through some of the questions I think that are important. Number one, I think it's important to recognize that there's 100 businessmen that are going to derive benefits from the project. And we shouldn't marginalize people that are in the agribusiness just because they're in agribusiness. There was the issue of recreation. And if you go back and look at the economic analysis, one of the things that's driving the cost of this reservoir is the size. It was actually sized up at the request of the Wyoming Game and Fish Department to provide a world-class rainbow trout fishery below the reservoir. It's all in the documentation. It's all available on the website. The original project to meet the ag demand was an 8,000-foot irrigation reservoir. But when you model the reservoir to try to get those tailwater fisheries benefit that we see on the North Platte and the Miracle Mile and below Boyson Reservoir and all those other tailwater fisheries around the state of Wyoming, it was modeled to say, look, we could have a very robust rainbow trout fishery if we key this up and make it larger. That's one component. What's the value of a recreation day, a trout fishing day? That's in the economic analysis, and it's on a basis and a regional basis. That's part of the economics. What's the value of a flat water recreation day to canoe or boat on a reservoir? What's the economic value to clean up toxic mine waste on public lands on the national forest as part of this project? What's the value of endangered species? What's the value of a conservation population of Colorado River cutthroat trout? It's in the analysis. That information's available. This could facilitate the resurrection of a metapopulation of a species that's been sensitive and petitioned for listing. It'll supply water to downstream endangered fish at the confluence of the Little Snake and the Yampa River. There was a question, I think, from the president talking about the compact issues. And this will get into a further discussion. So when we talk about the Colorado River Compact, which the Little Snake is allocated as part of the Green River Basin, 14% of the Colorado River flows. It is a compact issue, and one of the things that drive it is there's a special provision in the Upper Colorado River Compact in 1948 that says regardless of the size of the side of the state line, whether the reservoir is constructed in Colorado or whether it's constructed in Wyoming, that that water has to be shared equitably, and one state cannot deny the users of the other state access to that water. That's the Colorado nexus. What's the appropriation do? It's not an $80 million facility. You know, I think it's interesting when we talk about this thing. I always remind, nowadays they call it fake news, but back in the old days, Mark Twain always said, if you don't read the newspapers, you're uninformed, but if you do read the newspapers, you're misinformed. So there's a lot of misinformation out there. The misinformation, it's not an $80 million reservoir. And just like we do with every other capital construction project in the state of Wyoming, when we talk about revenue, whether it's office buildings in Casper, buildings at the University of Wyoming, building our school facilities through our capital construction, we start with a process where you have projects that you start to save money. And you put them towards those projects knowing that it's a year or two down the road that it's going to take that bridge to get you there. This is no different than what we do with the water development program. It's a $73 million reservoir is the estimate, not $80 million. So this is the original investment. But because of the component in the Colorado River Compact, and compact supersedes state water law, we have to comply with that compact. This now puts the state of Wyoming in a position to go to our friends on the Colorado side and said, we're serious about water in Wyoming, or we're serious about putting it to beneficial use in the state of Wyoming. I would tell you there's also been discussions at the federal level. There's several pieces of legislation that are moving through, and one of those is could be a critical component in the infrastructure bill to look at water infrastructure. Wouldn't it be a great thing if the federal government said, state of Wyoming, we are now going to get back into investing into the future of the western states where the Bureau of Reclamation has been absent for so long and participate in a storage project. Why would we forego that opportunity? This provides us an opportunity to have those discussions and move forward with the future development of our water resources, for our recreation base, for the environment, and for the economics of both recreation and agriculture. I think there was one other question out there that the good senator brought up. let me see if I can recall all of them. And I think it gets back to the compact issue. Absolutely. There's lands underneath this that could be eligible for irrigation under Colorado. But that's why we have to have this discussion. You know, we're sitting here to debate, and we've been debating the budget, and we know the crisis that we're faced at. And the discussions is how do we position ourselves in the Senate? For the budget. It's the same thing we're dealing with now. How do we position ourselves as a state to the development of our water resources to the benefit of the people of the state of Wyoming? The majority, if not all, of those recreational benefits that will accrue to this reservoir are going to be to the people of the state of Wyoming, not the people of any county, not to the people of any valley, but to the people of the state of Wyoming. Madam Chairman, in closing, I would say there's no question that hasn't been asked that can't be answered. That information's available and has been publicly available. I would ask for your favorable consideration to position the state of Wyoming to be able to develop our water resources on and for the amendment.
We are on Division 2. President Bebout.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chairman. There's one other thing, members of the Senate, that you need to consider, too, and it goes way back to my early days when I was first in the House, and it even started before that when we had the Cheyenne Water Projects, and I think they were called Stage 1 and Stage 2, which was a huge pipeline that took water out of the Little Snake River Valley over the mountain and brought it into Cheyenne. Back then, those projects probably were done in the late 70s, early 80s. It seems to me that the size of the pipe, I want to say 36 or 42-inch pipe, whatever it was, but back then it was like 50, 60, 70, 80 million dollars, a lot of money back then, a lot of money. And it was always, the commitment was that we would go back and make up for that in the Little Snake River, because we would provide a dam, and that gets into the Savory project. It was supposed to be a larger, much larger dam, and I can remember the debate, Madam Chairman, talking about that and the commitment, and some people felt like, well, we weren't here to commit to that, but, you know, when you really look at it, the commitment was made by the state. If we're going to take the water away from the Little Snake River Valley, we should build them a dam, and we came back. We never did do the big project, and it never happened. What we did do is we did the Savory Dam, which is a small one. My colleague from Carbon County can help me out on that, and I still think the combination of these two falls far short of that original discussion. I won't say commitment because we can never commit the legislature to future projects, but the commitment in terms of amount of acre feet it was involved with relative to the amount of water that every day we still get here in the Cheyenne area from the Little Snake River Valley. Maybe Senator, my tall colleague from Natrona County, can remember that as well. So there was discussion, Madam Chairman, about what we did with the water coming here and how we would make up for that at some point in time, and maybe this goes along the way of helping make that commitment full. I'm not sure on the percentage and how much water an acre foot it was, but I do know that we had a heck of a battle, a lot of discussion on the first one, never got it done. We came later, did the second one. Maybe this is part of that as well.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the first I've ever heard that there was some obligation to the people of that river when they did the Stage 1 and Stage 2 Cheyenne projects. Though that made sense. That was a beneficial use of the water to come to Wyoming's largest city to provide water here. If Bureau of Reclamation wants to come in at some point and build the dam, they're more than welcome to do it. But we're not talking BUREC or federal money here. We're talking state money. Now, I've got a couple of questions. My understanding is this thing will benefit. They will be able to sell that water for a maximum of $65,000 a year, in which case this dam will not pay itself off for 1,000 years. I'm told here that there's only about 10 individuals who will actually gain newly irrigated ground, 10 people. The rest of this ground is already irrigated. It's already irrigated by the Little Snake River and by water from High Savory Dam. I love the analogy that the dams in the Columbia River won World War II for us. You know, I don't know exactly what skirmish this is going to help us win. Nor does it put us in compliance or out of compliance with the Colorado River Compact. I don't want to go home and answer to my constituents saying, yes, we've cut education, we've cut this, we've cut that, we've cut everything else, but we put $73 million, state dollars, into a dam that irrigates new irrigation land for 10 people. I don't know, maybe you can do it, I can't.
We're on Division 2, Senator Scott.
Madam Chairman, I was in the House at the time we started the Stage 2 projects, and there very definitely was a commitment and understanding that the water development program of the state would take steps to make the people in the Little Snake River, Wyoming, whole because we were taking so much of their water for the Stage 2 project. Stage 2 was the big one there. Now, you can debate whether High Savory met that commitment or whether it was smaller than what was originally intended. I do believe that's accurate. But there very definitely was a commitment there. The question I've got is, suppose a number of years down the road we need this water for municipal or industrial purposes elsewhere. Will the state continue to own that, or will the irrigators own that? How does that part of it work?
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairwoman. Madam Chairwoman, this is our process. It's not about having spent years and years and percolating through the Water Development Commission or having different things.
This is our process. It comes here with a bill that the public is allowed to speak on and that we're allowed to ask questions and receive answers. We haven't received those answers today. The public attended the hearing in the committee, and they didn't receive those answers. And it was remarked that one member of the public wasn't even born when this project was started. And it was implied that he didn't even have standing to ask his questions. Well, I was born, and I was born when my first project that I came in the legislature was the Sandstone Dam project. And my good friend and tall colleague from Natrona County is slightly wrong on this. The actual commitment was for a project that never occurred. It was called Stage 3. There was no commitment made for Stage 2, but we felt bad enough about it that we funded the High Savory Dam as a replacement for the Sandstone Dam. The economics of the High Savory Dam weren't that great either, but they weren't as bad as this one, Madam Chairman. And we should be talking about these factors. You know, I took water resource economics from Dr. Jacobs over at the University of Wyoming. He's now emeritus over there. And we learned about things like benefit-cost ratios, what discount rates to use, because the discount rate you use is really important, Madam Chairwoman. It lets you see how far into the future. If you've got to look 100 years into the future to make something work, something's really, really wrong. My understanding is that this is just barely has benefits over cost, but it's only if you extend them for a very, very long time. The recreation benefits in this dam are overblown, Madam Chairman, because it's not even accessible, and there is the High Savory Dam, which is relatively close by. No one has documented this notion of the toxic mine waste, Madam Chairwoman. The toxic mine waste and what the benefits would be, if that was of some benefit, don't you think we'd be hearing from the environmental community that we should be cleaning up toxic mine waste and they'd be supporting this? I haven't heard that happen. There might be a reservoir of metapopulation of endangered fish, Madam Chairwoman, but I think the best fish are the cutthroat trout that run in free rivers, and I'm not sure we need to create another cold water fishing opportunity for a species that's not native to the state of Wyoming. Bottom line, Madam Chairwoman, 100 irrigators, $73 million. Over $5,000 per acre, more than the land itself is worth. I suggest we vote no.
We are on Division 2 to Standing Committee Number 1. Further discussion? Questions being called? All those in favor of Division 2 to Standing Committee Number 1 to House Bill 78, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
The amendment, or Division 2, has failed. We're back on the bill.
Can't do a roll call.
No.
Call for division.
Division being called. All those in favor of Division 2, please stand. Eight. Please sit down. All those opposed to Division 2, please stand. There were 8 ayes, 19 noes. The Division 2 has failed. We're back on the bill. Further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Hicks's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 78, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say no. House Bill 78 has passed Committee of the Whole. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move the committee whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say no. Motion is carried.
Will the reading clerk please read the Committee of the Whole report?
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under considerations bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 28, do pass. House Bill 99, do pass. House Bill 31, do pass. House Bill 29, do pass. House Bill 157, engrossed, do pass amended. House Bill 175, do pass. House Bill 103, engrossed, do pass amended. House Bill 108, engrossed, do pass. House Bill 153, engrossed, do pass amended. House Bill 141, do pass. House Bill 14, engrossed, do pass amended. House Bill 36, engrossed, do pass amended. House Joint Resolution 5, engrossed, do pass amended. House Bill 41, engrossed, do pass amended. House Bill 61, do pass. House Bill 106, do pass. House Bill 117, engrossed, do pass. House Bill 192, do pass amended. House Bill 78, engrossed, do pass amended. Senator Ellis, Chairwoman.
Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Mr. President.
Just a second. The Committee of the Whole report is adopted. Go ahead, Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the
Absolutely.
Floor?
Absolutely. Yes, you may.
In the fishbowl, you have three of Cheyenne's coolest kids, and maybe three of the coolest kids in America. You have Lindy Ellis, who is 4, Archie Ellis, who is 8, and Marlo Ellis, who is 10, and they're accompanied by their father, Dennis Ellis, who, coincidentally, is one of the best dads and best husbands out there. So let's give him a hand.
All right. Well, welcome to the Senate, young people. You got to see your mother perform up here in the big chair. She did a great job. So when you get home tonight, you can tell her that. Okay, we've got a few things to do. First of all, messages from the House.
From
only
the House,
good ones, I hope.
From the House of Representatives, March 5, 2018. Message number 222. Mr. President, Senate File 3, Antelope Hunt Licenses, passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Ayes 45, noes 13, excuse 2. Message number 223. Senate File 9, Insurance Code Revisions, passed the House, ayes 51, noes 7, excuse 2. Message number 224, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 25, Corrections, Exception to Defense of Habitation Law, passed the House in an amended form, ayes 32, noes 26, excuse 2. Message number 225, concurrence requested. Senate File 2, Legislative Budget, passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 55, noes 2, excused 3.
Senator Hicks, are you ready for your concurrence request on message number 218 to Senate File 44?
Yeah, Mr. President, I would move for adoption of concurrence of message 218.
Just a second before we do. Let's read it in.
All right.
Message number 218, referencing Senate File 44, Fire Protection Revolving Account.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I move concurrence of House Bill Senate File 44 and ask for your favorable consideration of a yes vote. Members of the body actually going there. The House did some good work on this one. This is, if you'll remember, is the state fire revolving account that will allow the state forester to be able to use billable fire expenses, in other words, revenues derived from fighting on federal fires that come back to the state and in some cases to county and rural fire districts. To be able to reimburse them in a very timely fashion. Sometime it takes months, could be up to 6 months, that your rural fire and county fire guys are not being paid for the expenses on those federal fires. What the House did was found some money that was going to revert. It was a 2016 appropriation. As the count currently sits, there was inadequate funding to be able to, if we have a big fire this year, to get it up and going, to fund those rural and county fire departments. So what the House did is found some money that was going to revert in the 2016 to the Office of State Lands and Investment and just put those $700,000 into this account And with that, Mr. President, I would ask for a yea vote on concurrence.
The motion is that the Senate do concur to message number 218 to Senate file 44. You vote aye, you vote to concur. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Excused.
Excused. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Bonfladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasterberger? Aye. President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred to message number 218 to Senate file 44, Fire Protection Revolving Account. Senator Peterson, are you ready on your concurrence request for message 219? If you are, with the reading clerk, please read that one in.
Message number 219, referencing Senate File 50, Collection of State Financial Obligations.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for concurrence to message 219 in regards to Senate File 50, Collection of State Financial Obligations, and ask for the body's favorable consideration in voting aye. This is a catch that the House did for us. It surprised me because we took care of this in another bill that we were discussing in revenue, but all they did in on page 3, line after line 14, was insert wording that includes collections on use tax. We took care of sales tax in our original bill, and their good catch was that they took care of the use tax in section 39-16-107. And so it was a good catch, and I would ask the body to vote aye.
The motion is that the Senate do concur to message number 219, Senate file 50. You vote aye, you vote to concur. Chief Clerk, will please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Excused.
Boniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasterberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur to message number 219 to Senate File 50, Collection of State Financial Obligations. Senator Meyer is not here. How about you, Senator Christensen? Are you ready for your concurrence vote? If you are, if you're standing up, will the Chief Clerk please read that request in or that message in?
Message number 224, referencing Senate File 25, Corrections Exemption to Defense of Habitation Law.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for concurrence on Senate File 25 and ask for your favorable...
Message 224.
On Message 224, for Senate File 25 on Message 224, and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate... over on page 2, they did a little fix on there and just deleted some language they didn't think was necessary. It doesn't really change the strength of the bill. The bill's still a darn good bill, and I'd ask for your affirmative vote.
The motion is to concur to message number 224 out of Senate File 25, Corrections Exemption to Defense of Habitation Law. You vote aye, you vote to concur. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer excused. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasterberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur to message number 224 to Senate File 25, Corrections Exception to Defense of Habitation Law. Senator Baldwin, do you come up here? Senator Burns, are you ready on message number 225?
Yes, Mr. President.
Okay, will the reading clerk please read in that message?
Message number 225, referencing Senate File 2, Legislative Budget.
Just a second. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move message 225 and ask this, which is also Senate File number 2, and ask the Senate to vote aye. Mr. President, this is the feed bill for the legislative budget, and what the House did was they took the out-of-state budget and increased it by $20,000. Out of a $7.5 million bill, that's really, I don't think, enough to mess around with, so I'd ask the body to vote aye.
The motion is to concur to message number 225 to Senate File 2, Legislative Budget. You vote aye, you vote to concur. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe? Coe, no. Dockstetter? Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer excused. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson? No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasterberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Kinski, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 18 aye, 11 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur to message number 225 to Senate File 2, Legislative Budget. Mr. Vice President, would you come up here, please?
Thank you.
signing of enrolled acts. Enrolled Act number one being the original file number, Senate File 18.
Enrolled Act number one being original Senate File 18.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number one, Enrolled Act number one, Senate File 18. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number two being original Senate File 16.
Senate Enrolled Act number two being original Senate File 16, an act relating to environmental quality.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number two being the original Senate File 16. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number three being original Senate File 8.
Senate Enrolled Act number three being original Senate File 8, an act relating to insurance.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number three being original Senate File 8. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number four being original Senate File 7.
Senate Enrolled Act number four being original Senate File 7, an act relating to insurance.
Enrolled Act number four being original Senate File 7, I'm about to sign. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number five, Senate File 6.
Senate Enrolled Act number five, being original Senate File 6, an act relating to workers' compensation and unemployment insurance.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number six, being original Senate File number 54. Is that correct? I have so signed. Enrolled Act number five being original Senate File 6. Is that correct?
Senate Enrolled Act number five being original Senate File 6. An act relating to workers' compensation and unemployment insurance.
I'm about to sign Senate File 6 being Enrolled Act number five being original Senate File 6. I've so signed. Enrolled Act number seven, original Senate File 5.
Senate Enrolled Act number seven, being original Senate File 5, an act relating to state parks and archaeological sites.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number seven, being original Senate File 5. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number eight being original Senate File 53.
Senate Enrolled Act 8 being Original Senate File 53, an act relating to water development.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 8 being Original Senate File 53. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 9 being Original Senate File 37.
Senate Enrolled Act 9 being Original Senate File 37, an act relating to legal time and holidays.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 9 being Senate File 37. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 10, Senate File, being Original Senate File 33.
Senate Enrolled Act number 10, being Original Senate File 33, an act relating to higher education and uniformed service members.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 10, being Original Senate File 33. I so signed. Enrolled Act number 11 being Original Senate File 26.
Senate Enrolled Act number 11 being Original Senate File 26, an act relating to collection agencies.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 11 being Original Senate File 26. I so signed. Enrolled Act number 12 being Original Senate File 24.
Senate Enrolled Act number 12 being Original Senate File 24, an act relating to courts and counties.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 12 being Original Senate File number 24. I so signed. Enrolled Act number 13 being Original Senate File 21.
Senate Enrolled Act number 13 being Original Senate File 21, an act relating to adoption.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 13 being Original Senate File 21. I so signed. Enrolled Act number 14 being Original Senate File 20.
Senate Enrolled Act number 14 being Original Senate File 20, an act relating to child custody.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 14 being Original Senate File 20. I so signed. Enrolled Act number 15 being Original Senate File 3.
Senate Enrolled Act number 15 being Original Senate File 3, an act relating to game and fish.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 15 being Original Senate File 3. I so signed. Enrolled Act 16 being Original Senate File 9.
Senate Enrolled Act number 16 being Original Senate File 9, an act relating to insurance.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 16 being Original Senate File 9. I so signed. Yes, standing committee reports. Standing committee reports.
March 5, 2018. Mr. Vice President, Committee Number 9, to whom was referred House Bill 172 engrossed, produced water treatment. Respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Excused, Senator Coe. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. Mr. Vice President, Committee Number 9, to whom was referred House Bill 144, engrossed, Wyoming Invests Now Exemption Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. Mr. Vice President, Committee Number 9, to whom was referred House Bill 129, engrossed, Glider Kit Vehicles, Title and Registration, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. Mr. Vice President, Committee Number 2, to whom was referred House Bill 66, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Stater, Driscoll, Hastert, and Lambden. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
That the Senate stand adjourned until 10 o'clock on Tuesday, March the 6th.
Any reports? Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8:15 a.m. Committee members note the time. Jonah Room S-19, and committee members, that's slightly different room than we normally meet. First thing we're going to do is hold a confirmation hearing for the nomination of Tom Forslund to Department of Family Services. And second thing, we're going to try to finish our work on House Bill 163, engrossed. There are some draft amendments available, and I urge the committee members to look at those.
Thank you. Announcement, Senator Coe.
Mr. Vice President, Committee Number 4, just a refresher, we're going to continue the work that we started this morning. We're going to sanitize another House bill. We're going to take up House Bill 53, School Recalibration Bill, State Educational Programs.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I have two announcements. First one is your committee number 9, Joint Minerals, will meet Wednesday, March the 7th at 8 a.m. in Jonah Room H37 to discuss interim topics. Mr. Vice President, your Rules Committee number 12, will meet Tuesday, March 6th at 8:30 a.m. in Jonah Room H37 to consider House Bill 186, engrossed, SIPA guarantee.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have an announcement on minerals meeting tomorrow, maybe?
Yep. Is there another bill, Mr. Chairman?
We'll go to Senator Emmerich, and then we'll be back to you.
I do have it. Thank you. I've got two announcements for your Minerals Committee number 9 for Tuesday, March 6th. At 8 a.m. in Jonah Room L56, we'll consider House Bill 152, engrossed wind energy equipment storage.
Yeah, thank you. Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Travel Committee number 6 will meet tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, Jonah Room S27. To consider House Bill 6, Research and Wildlife Information Confidentiality, and House Bill 133, Engrossed, Display of National Motto.
Senator Burns?
Mr. Vice President, could I see the members of the Senate Appropriations Committee at my desk immediately upon adjournment, please?
Senator Hicks?
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 5, Guns, Agricultural, Public Lands, and Water Resources, will be meeting Tuesday upon adjournment to take up House Bill 130, Engrossed, State Fair Endowment, House Bill 168, Engrossed, Stand Your Ground 2, and then, as time allows, the committee will have discussion on interim topics.
Thank you. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet at noon, 30 minutes after noon recess tomorrow. I got the wrong one here. Uh-huh.
Would you like to stand back up a little bit?
30 minutes after noon recess to take up House Bill 156, State Songs, And House Bill 170 engrossed women's Wyoming's Children's Trust Fund amendments.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
And it took a lot. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I've got three announcements here. Transportation Number 8 Committee will meet today upon adjournment in Jonah Room S27 to consider the following House bills. House Bill 39, engrossed wildlife conservation license plates. House Bill 84, engrossed approval of bridge designs, plans, and specifications. House Bill 93, engrossed speeding fines and amendments to. Mr. Vice President, your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet upon noon recess in Jonah Room S27 to discuss interim topics with its Senate members. Then, Mr. Vice President, on Tuesday, upon adjournment in Jonah Room L54, we will have a joint meeting with the House to discuss interim topics.
Thank you. Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice President. Your Joint Corporations Committee number 7 will meet tomorrow upon the noon recess. We'll probably try to get a quick lunch first, so let's make it 15 minutes after. Mr. Vice President, we're going to meet in Jonah Room L54. I had previously indicated that that was going to be S18. That is not correct. So it's Jonah Room L54, the big room to discuss interim topics. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. May I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Members of the Senate, the University of Wyoming debate team, a very successful team that has performed well for over 100 years, one of the first teams in the country, one of the most successful teams in the country, one of the first teams to, I think the first team in the region that had women debaters, has continued its success and ran into a little bit of trouble because this year they qualified not one but two teams for the National Debate Tournament, which accepts only the top 80 teams in the country. As a result, and as a result of 30% or so funding cuts over the last few years to the team, they're doing a bit of a fundraiser to make sure that that second team can make its way to the National Debate Tournament in a few weeks. On my Facebook page is the ability to contribute to that campaign. They just need a few $1,000s. It doesn't take a lot of money to send a debater across the country, but it does take some dollars, so I'd appreciate it if every senator in this chamber and everyone listening at home will take the opportunity to go to the Facebook page and contribute a little bit. Every bit helps, and the debate team will certainly appreciate it as they go and try and get some victories at the national tournament. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Any other announcements? Seeing none, you've all heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? We'll be recessed until 10 a.m. on the 6th of March.